Welcome to In Depth with Academia. I'm Richard Price, CEO of Academia.edu, and hey, thanks so much for joining me today. If you're new to the show, this is your place for deep dives into academic research, always from a neutral position, of course, offering you ideas to chew on and reflect about. Today, we're exploring a fascinating question. How does our nervous system coordinate both arms when we perform rhythmic tasks? The paper we'll discuss is titled Dimensionality in Rhythmic Bimanual Coordination by Eric G. James and Chuck Lane. So, shout out to both authors for tackling this tricky topic. All right, so bimanual coordination, that means doing things with both hands in rhythm. Think drumming, clapping, typing, even dancing. But here's the core issue that James and Lane are wrestling with. Exactly how does your neuromotor system deal with the massive degrees of freedom? You know, all those ways your joints and muscles could possibly move to create smooth coordinated action. And more specifically, does the complexity or dimensionality of what your brain controls change depending on how well you're performing? This isn't just nitpicky academic stuff. This is a kind of question that can shed light on rehabilitation practices, skill learning, robotics, or just anyone wondering why some coordinated movements feel natural while others are honestly just weirdly hard. I mean, have you ever tried to pat your head and rub your tummy while spinning in a chair? There's some weird stuff happening in your nervous system at that moment, right? Okay, so what did James and Lane do? They got 20 healthy volunteers, mostly right-handed, and had them move both forearms rhythmically together using a custom setup with motion tracking. Participants were asked to match specific rhythmic patterns in phase, meaning both arms moving in the same direction at the same time. Think clapping. Antiphase, which is moving in opposite directions, like alternating hands on a drum. And then a few even trickier patterns, like keeping arms at a 45-degree, 90-degree, or 135-degree phase difference. Some folks got metronome cues to help, some didn't. The study measured the dimensionality, that is, how many aspects of movement the system seemed to be actively controlling in three places: each arm's individual movement, the coupling or coordination between the arms, and finally, the observable pattern they produced together. This might sound abstract, but the key point is that you can actually quantify, theoretically at least, how complicated your internal control strategies get using something called entropy. It's a bit like measuring uncertainty or the degree of surprise in how things move. Now, what did the authors find? Basically, when people performed the in-phase movement, where performance is usually highest, the movement of each arm and the coupling between them had lower dimensionality. That means the system seems to simplify its strategy, kind of like pulling as many puppet strings together as possible to make it all feel automatic. But fascinatingly, the dimensionality of the overall task output, the precise pattern they aim to create, was actually higher in this in-phase mode. So to do really well at this stable movement, the system tightly constrains the parts, but the actual pattern you achieve reflects more flexibility or adaptability. Compare that with less stable, harder tasks, like those weird 90-degree apart movements, where people struggled more. Here, both the individual arm movements and the coupling had higher dimensionality. So the nervous system seems to be juggling more variables, maybe because the action doesn't fall into place as naturally. Why does this matter for you? Well, if you're someone who learns physical skills, coaches, does rehab, or is curious about how our bodies succeed, or, let's be honest, totally fall apart at coordination, this research suggests that smoother, easier performance isn't about using ever more complex instructions inside your head. Instead, it's about reducing the complexity at the parts level, letting the pattern emerge more easily. So, when you find yourself getting better at a movement, maybe what's happening is your nervous system is finding clever shortcuts. And a quick side note, did you ever notice how cats can coordinate their paws in weirdly complicated ways, like batting a string and then instantly grooming at a totally different rhythm? I always wonder if their brains just, I don't know, switch modes even faster than ours. Anyway, total digression. Sorry. One more thing. The study found that providing rhythmic cues like a metronome helped a bit, but not everywhere or for every pattern. The flexibility, or lack thereof, really comes from the underlying pattern stability, not just having an external signal to guide you. Keep in mind, I'm not endorsing every claim here, just laying out what the research suggests. Academia is always a work in progress. These findings point a direction, but everyone's nervous system is unique and complicated, and, you know, research always leaves room for new discoveries or challenges. To tie this up, if you're learning a new skill, struggling with coordination therapy, or are just curious, maybe try focusing on finding those movement patterns that lock in and feel easy. Chances are your system is figuring out how to bundle up all those spare degrees of freedom, giving you a more dimensional performance output with less effort. That's a tangible, everyday takeaway from what might seem like a super theoretical study. Thanks again for joining me on In Depth with Academia. I'll see you next time with another look into the fascinating world of research, always with an open mind. Have a great day.